change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and happy Monday. It is so gorgeous out. It's crazy sunny. Everyone's all like happy about the weather, but I can't go outside. I literally burn within 2 to 3 minutes.
Missing out on this gorgeous sunshine.
No, it's like I'm like a vampire in the summertime. Last night I went out at about 10 o'clock at night, and it was great. I didn't have to wear a sweater or anything. It was so beautiful. But like 6 a.m., great time. 10 o'clock at night.
You are a delicate flower. You need a parasol.
I'm more than a parasol because it reflects off the pavement. Oh. I just need to stay indoors all summer. So enjoy it, all you people with melatonin. Is that what it's in your skin? Because even with sunscreen, I burn really, really quickly. So today we are going to speak with Rennie DeFazio and Tamara Veach. They are the authors of One Great Year, and they've been on the show a few times already talking about their spectacular book, but they also have an event coming up at Banyan Books this coming Thursday, which is, I don't know the date.
May 9th,
at 7 o'clock.
Correct, yeah.
At Banyan Books. And what, Tamara, are you going to be talking about?
Well, at Banyan Books, we are going to be giving one of our public pod parties. And pod is P-O-D, plain old discussion about monumental topics. So what's been happening is we're really, with One Great Year, you might hear a little bit of noise in the background while we're doing this. Rennie is setting up because he's filming, because we are doing a documentary for One Great Year. So we are actually going to film a little piece of this radio interview because it's part of the journey of the whole book. But okay, so back to Banyan Books. On this Thursday night, we will have a discussion about all of the ancient knowledge, all of the secrets, the locations, and the modern science that are bringing those two things together right now. They are actually, they're linked in so many ways. The quantum physics is really, you know, over many of our heads, but on the very basic levels, it's really connecting to a lot of ancient knowledge that was discussed in the Vedas and in other texts, and we talk about all that at the pod parties.
Awesome. So let's get a recap of what the book is about in case anyone new is listening and didn't hear your previous interviews.
Right. Well, One Great Year really is a thrilling journey that weaves together the modern science and the ancient knowledge. And as the world descends from a golden age into a dark age of brutality, our main character, Marcus, is reincarnated an exhausting number of times. So when he is selected to become an emissary, it's his duty to protect the ancient secrets. His adventure is heightened because he secretly consumes a serum that allows him to have memory one lifetime to the next. Well, in doing that, he sets himself up for a lot of heartache, loneliness, and torment. So desperate, he doesn't ever want to forget his soulmate, Theron, who, you know, we all adore. And he struggles through lifetimes in ancient Bolivia, Greece, the Mongolian Empire, to Shambhala. Always on the lookout again for the sinister Hell Ghoul who stalks him through these lifetimes as part of his soul group. So One Great Year really fuses the adventure of Indiana Jones, the wisdom and introspection of Eckhart Tolle, and Marcus and Theron basically battle their way through their lifetimes trying to survive good over evil.
Awesome. Hi, Rennie.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
He's ready in front of the mic this time. We've had some problems getting him in front of the mic, but we've got him right front and center there. And there's the camera. It's all set up for your documentary. Awesome. So now you're talking about ancient knowledge and science. You mentioned before the show started that you had a private pod party the other night that went till like 1 a.m. So can you tell us about that?
Well, that was a great experience. We actually did a pod party for people that had already read the book. And there was a number of people there that had read it a couple of times. So they were really interested in the theories and the philosophies behind One Great Year. And because all of those are based in fact, we sat down with them. And basically what we've done with One Great Year is we've taken what's known in modern science, and we've connected it with ancient knowledge. And
cool.
So we sat there and talked to it, and they really didn't want us to go, and we had to say, you know, we have kids, we have to go.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. So how do you start these pod parties? What does it look like? And first of all, it's a free event, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's free. Our schedule at Banyan on Thursday night is 7 to 8:30. That will be the briefest pod party we've had so far.
Okay.
We do recommend you get there a little bit beforehand. You know, be there for 7 because there is a presentation portion of it. And after the presentation comes the discussion, and whether you've read the book or not, the discussion is the most fun part of the whole night, because you really get to the meat and bones of, you know, what is going on in our universe and what's our perspective.
Yeah, and actually Tam and I would like to, you know, send it out to your listeners that if there is anybody out there that's doing book clubs, would like to use our book and as one of their books in their book club, we will meet with them after they've all read the book and have a pod party.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you're like in the local,
in the lower mainland. Yeah.
If you're in the lower mainland, we'll come over to your house and you can sit with the authors and we will go through all the philosophies and theories and show a direct connection between modern science and ancient knowledge.
Right. Fun. And if you're really connected to your local library, we can also do it through a library, because not everybody is comfortable necessarily doing it at home. Reach out to us. Reach out to your library. We can work together and make sure that that can happen. Because one of the reasons we wrote One Great Year, there were many, but one of them was to get people talking. To get people thinking, to get people asking questions about everything, not just what we talk about. And we love that people bring us questions and bring us information and keep us thinking and keep us on our toes, because we are writing more books.
Wow. So does the Vancouver Public Library have your book yet?
The Vancouver Public Library does not. As we've been going through this process, we are really nearing the end of getting our second edition, which is not book two, but it's the second edition of the first book out. It has a new cover. It's got a new edit. It's going to be available within the next, by July. So we've held off a little bit rather than putting everything out there in the first edition and having to replace it. We're sort of in hold now. So the limited edition, first edition, the limited quantity first editions are just selling out. So it's a good time to get one of those if you can get your hands on it.
Yeah, especially because it's going to be made into like a huge movie, right?
Right.
Let's hope. It's been optioned for 3 Hollywood films. So we're working on that right now. We have a management team that's just signed us that actually we're the first authors that they're working with. And they hope to turn One Great Year into a bestseller. So now that we started off as a self-published book, and now we've been picked up by a major publishing company in the States. So everything's kind of, we're working with the publicity team and publicists, and we've got a team behind us now getting ready to launch One Great Year on the world stage.
Cool. So it could be like Avatar or something.
Let's hope.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Actually, you know, it's we had such an honor recently. We have an international student from Sweden who we've met in the last few months, and she's a grade 12 student, and she chose our book to do as a study, as a work project. And she ended up getting an A on her assignment, and she did this whole big assignment about One Great Year. And, you know, we're very honored when people are being touched by the book. And she was talking about, you know, it's an avatar. It's just, you know, and she compared it to that in her assignment too. And, you know, we're just really grateful how it's being received. It's people are connecting and it's resonating, and we love it so dearly that it's such a gift
to know
that.
We've got some wonderful emails from the listeners of your show that have
heard really?
Us. Yeah, from all over the world. So they're actually, you know, people are starting to tune into this, and it's, you know, there's this revolution of new thought starting to take place, and people are getting on board, and it's exciting.
Yeah, cool. we've had a series of emails from one listener of Synchronicity Radio in India.
Awesome. Hello, India.
Hello, India.
I love my listeners in India.
Hello, Shakti, if you're listening.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, it's exciting for us because we know that after we're on your show, we look at our website, we see what's happening, people contact us, and there's lights coming up all over North America. It's quite fascinating what happens, and word of mouth is everything when you're a small independent like we are, and we so appreciate you. And, your listeners just talking about it and those people that we've mailed books to that have won them on your station. We want to hear from you. Want your comments. We want to know what you thought. We know it's a big book. It's a lot to take on. But when people finish it, they usually read it again.
So. Well, and that's why it's interesting. You had mentioned Kindle is a little less overwhelming because we met at I work with Namaste Publishing, which is Eckhart Tolle's publisher, which Power of Now totally was all word of mouth. Connie like delivered it to Banyan Books and it was just pounding the pavement to get those first copies out. And then people were amazed and it just like, well, now, everyone knows who Eckhart Tolle is. But that's where I met you, was at a party for Namaste for one of their books. And you had said, I want you to read my book and it's great. And I got it and it sat there on my desk for so long because it's so big. And I really wanted to read it because you guys were so sweet. And when I met you, we had this great rapport. But getting started in the book was just, it felt overwhelming looking at, it's like the size of the Bible, this book.
Yeah,
just
it's 440 pages. Yeah, there's a lot of research and information in there.
Yeah, but once you start reading it, you really can't put it down.
Yeah, the fascinating part is people finish it faster than a very thin book. Usually we hear, yeah, I haven't started it yet. And then I'm going to start it tonight. And literally 2 or 3 days later, we hear, I just finished.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I have to read it again because when I first started, I didn't know what I was in for. I didn't know what world I was in. And by the time you finish and you get really acquainted with the reincarnation, with energy, with how it works, it really... You want to read it again because you get to be part of that world.
Sorry, this is the owner line.
Yeah, we actually had two interesting synchronicity event happen to us the other day. One of my friends read the book, and she got together with another camp of girls that they kind of had...
girls' night out.
Yeah, girls' night out. And so they're sitting around talking, and she said, are any of you guys readers? And of course, they all say, oh, yeah, we love to read. And she goes, you have to read One Great Year. And one of the girls who she does not know said, I've read it.
Oh, my God.
It's my new favorite book. And then, boom, that just exploded the conversation. And yeah. I mean, the fact that people are starting to, people that even know us are starting to meet people that have read the book. That
who
don't know each
you.
Other.
Right. That's so, awesome.
That is exciting. So, sometimes we feel like we're waiting a lot. And it's nice to know that things are pushing forward and there's people out there and it's still happening. And, emails and hearing from people from all over the world is really helpful.
This event at Banyan coming up is so exciting.
Yeah, we're so excited because we are huge Eckhart Tolle fans. Yeah. I mean, our book has been described as Indiana Jones meets Eckhart Tolle. So it's very, our philosophy is very in line with what Eckhart Tolle teaches. And we had that event that we met you at when Constance Kellogg was there, and she's talking about how her and Eckhart finally got into Banyan Books.
Yeah.
And that day, Tam and I were going from bookstore to bookstore with our books in the trunk, trying to get them into stores. And now we're in Banyan Books. It's kind of a little homage to Eckhart Tolle.
Cool. Right.
We've lived the life that he did it before us. To have actually, been plugging down the street, had the books on our back, walked into the stores trying to talk to the right people and get them in. We don't take independence. Nobody takes independence because it's an awful lot of work.
Well,
for
and
the
anyone, because you don't know, like I get all these people sending me their self-published book and I have taken the time to read some and it's a big drain if the book, because if a book has been published by a legitimate publishing company, you know that there's some validity to the book.
It's vested.
Yes.
Yes.
Someone has read it and thought, this is good enough to invest my money in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If it's self-published, it could be crap.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, and we totally agree. And when we got our American publisher, Greenleaf Publishing Group, they are so excited about our book. And they've put us in their top tier. We thought, you know, when they initially made the offer, oh, they'll put us second tier, third tier, we're small potatoes. They didn't do that.
Wow.
Their editors read the book and said, no, this is top tier. We're going to put this top shelf. We are going to get this into airports. We're going to
oh,
get this
God.
Into,
yes.
You know, we're going to be in Barnes & Noble. We're going to be in Amazon. We're going to have all of that access across North America. Our publicists are working with Greenleaf Book Group. It's, you know, we're not really talking about the book here. We're talking about the business, but this book has an energy. It has something really important to say that hasn't been said in this way before.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking a spiritual message and having it weaved through the story as truth, it just, this is how the universe might work. Mm-hmm. We are not ramming it down anyone's throat. It's pure entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is entertainment. It is really, really fun to read this book and have the sex and have the historical experiences and live in these locations and times. And people are getting really excited. And as you can tell, we're still really excited.
It is a lot of fun. And that's the thing, too. I also don't usually interview people about fiction books
right.
on this show. So you know that I definitely was impacted by this book to have you guys on and have you on like so many times. So it is really fun. Where can people go to get the book? Banya Books, obviously. If you're in Vancouver, come to the Pod Party on Thursday night. I am planning to be there.
Fantastic.
So,
fantastic.
Yay. If it goes later than 8:30, I don't know what.
I think they'll kick us out.
Okay.
If it goes later than 8:30, there are plenty of coffee shops. There's one right across the street. Randy and I love meeting new people. We love talking to people. We love getting down into what this is all about, whether people love it, hate it, or are indifferent. So we're going to be around. So if Banyan Books herds us out into the street, it's going to be a lovely sunny night. We have plenty of options. So
there's the beaches just down the street
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Jericho Beach.
We'll go. You know, we'll head down to Jericho. We'll pick a couple logs and we'll throw out some beach blankets and we'll continue the pod party until people are so enthusiastic that they must fly home and, you know.
Yeah, if you want to pick up the book prior to it,
making
its big promotion, you can pick it up online at our website at www.onegreatyear.com. It's also at Utopia Bookstore in North Van on Lonsdale. It's at Reflections on Austin in Coquitlam, at Whitby Books, Marine Drive in White Rock, and of course at Banyan Books on West 4th.
Awesome. And you've had pod parties at Whitby Books. That's a gorgeous location.
Yeah.
They've got all the crystals and it's quite big, right? Kind of like Banyan, but in White Rock.
Exactly. And Utopia is the same story. We had one there also, and they were fantastic. Whitby's already booked us for another one. We're going to do another one in July and catch the summer crowd.
Fun.
She's really excited to offer it. She was glowing in her, you know, she said authors are rarely as prepared and professional as we ended up being. So she was quite impressed with our presentation. We put a lot of time into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, free event and good way to meet other like-minded people because you'll be discussing.
Exactly.
That's one of the things, you go to these like lectures and stuff and you don't necessarily meet people unless you're super good at engaging and approaching people. But if you're in a discussion kind of environment, you're going to make friends and meet people.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, come on down Thursday, May 9th, 7 p.m. at Banyan Books for the Pod Party, plain old discussion about monumental topics. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We're speaking with Tamara Veach and Rennie DeFazio. They are the authors of One Great Year. You can find them at onegreatyear.com. We'll be back momentarily.
ABC Short Film Makers, this 4th Annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is now accepting entries until August 1st, so get those cameras rolling. Student recent grads and professional filmmakers can submit films and videos, and remember, the shorter the better. Last year 29 short films were screened and over $15,000 in prize, we are awarded to visit filmmakers. For entering rules and submit online, please visit the Vancouver Short Film Festival at vsff.com.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
All right, welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Sorry for the delay. We were just chit-chatting during the break about how we're going to give you a copy of One Great Year. So we've got a couple little things we're going to do. We decided that usually when Tamara and Rennie are on the show, we give away one copy on the air to like a local North American person. But if you send me an email, are we just going to give away one Kindle copy? The first person to email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com will receive a Kindle copy of One Great Year. So that way you don't see how big it is. You can just flip through on your Kindle and you can be anywhere in the world and I will email that to you. And also, before our next break, I will put out the cue to call. If you are wanting to come to the pod party on Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Banyan Books on West 4th Avenue, Tamara and Rennie will personally hand you a copy free of the book. So that will be the first person to call in when I give the cue to call, which will be coming up later in the hour. So listen very intently for the cue to call. And remember, you will need to physically come to Banyan Books on Thursday if you are the prize winner. So if you're planning on coming, get your dialing fingers ready and you could have a copy of the book. So let's talk about now the name of the book is One Great Year. So briefly, just in case people or new listeners are tuning in, what is a great year and is there any evidence of a great year or is it just some magical thing that someone made up?
Well, one great year is a time frame of 26,000 years. Essentially what it is, it's called the precession of the equinox. And what it is, there's a wobble in the earth and for that wobble to make one full rotation takes 26,000 years. And what it does is it goes around the fixed 12 zodiac stars above us in the sky. And there's believed within that cycle, there is a rise and fall of consciousness. And this is written in the oldest books in the world called the Vedic texts out of India.
Right. And the reason the Vedic texts are important is because they don't only tell stories that we don't understand. They actually describe things that are only just being proved now. And these are thousands and thousands of years old. In the Vedic texts, they talk about the physical world is made up of atoms and that atoms have an internal structure resembling a solar system. The Vedic texts describe the Earth's orbit around the sun as being elliptical. They describe the zodiac. They describe the moon cycle. They describe the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn being 24 degrees away from the equator. So there's also 30 other ancient sources that talk about this grand cosmic cycle. And the fact that it is part of a human cycle of consciousness, that our history is not linear, that is really what's important for us. And when we keep saying the word consciousness, but, you know, we can't just lose that in sentences. You know, what do we mean by that?
See, consciousness is essentially it. I love the fact how ancient the Asian philosophy talks about understanding the essence of emptiness and the fact that we are all little tiny movable dots, and all of that's kept together by this invisible field. Whereas consciousness enters this in order to have a human experience. And it's being talked about all over the world. There's physicists jumping on board. There's a real marrying of happening, especially in noetic sciences, where science and spirituality are starting to come together. And that's an exciting place to be right now.
Right. And there's evidence of ancient great year clocks around the world. They're only now being understood. because the great year wasn't understood. So there was these monuments that were, you know, misinterpreted or just looked upon. Robert Bouval has a theory.
Yeah, Robert Bouval came up with the Orion correlation theory, where the pyramids are fixed to the three stars in the belt of Orion. Now, what they've now discovered is that the Queen's pyramids on the outside of these act as if it's a timepiece. So they actually coincide to time, certain times in history. And how they've learned that is there's programs now, astronomical programs, where they can see where the stars set at certain times, and they realize that these stars match perfectly with the pyramids on the plateau of Giza.
I'm curious about something. Have you guys done any research into the faces on Mars?
Yes, actually, you know, that this
or is it one face or there's
lead to that. Yeah, they're actually saying that Mars at one time was colonized. Mm-hmm. And that stems from this great year cycle. So in epochs prior leading to the ones on Earth, Mars was actually a thriving planet, which we're now starting to see with the rover, proving that there was water there, that there was vegetation. I mean, it's kind of starting to actually prove that this might possibly be real.
Well, and the great year cycle is only one cycle within many, many, many cycles. The great year is described, as we said, in the Vedas, but the Vedas also teach that there's millions of years of cycles. Yes. That we learn and lose and learn and lose. Our information, our sophistication, our civilization ebbs and flows in different ages. And yeah.
But why does it have to be that way? I mean, it kind of...
Well, if you look at the lifetime of a human, you're born, you die, okay? If you have a full life cycle, you go from infant to very old person. There are lessons to be learned in that. Mm-hmm. In every single stage, there are different lessons learned. I think it's very much like that. The microcosm is the macrocosm. That is something we are finding. And that is echoed in ancient wisdom as well as in science. Atoms are atoms. Everything is made up of the same thing. So if we look at an individual's life cycle and you look at the cycle of the great year and you look at the Brahmin year, which is, you know, hundreds of thousands of years.
1 million.
That's 1 million.
1.2
yeah,
million.
It's, you know, it's, it, if you look at all these cycles there, it's all evolutionary learning. And that, by using the word evolution, we are not taking spirituality or God or the source or whatever your sense of, you know, a higher being or higher divinity is. We are not taking that out of the cycle. We're marrying the two.
I got to ask you, okay, and I've got to say just an observation, and I've probably said this before, but sitting across from Tamara and Rennie, they're just so passionate. And if you want to come and soak up just some of their energy, come on Thursday, even if you have no interest in the book, just come. And well, first of all, she's gorgeous to look at. So, yes, and Rennie's adorable as well. So just come.
You're so lovely.
But just come and soak up her energy and just sort of be there. It's a free event, you know, if you got nothing else to do, come down on Thursday night.
That's so
May 9th at 7 o'clock at Banyan Books on West 4th Avenue. But I want to ask you, have you always had this energy? And Rennie, like before you guys wrote the book, was Tamara, was she always like this, or has she become more? I'm sure she's become more amazing just in the time you've known her, but how have you seen her change and develop through this process?
When I first met Tamara, she was a white light, and you can see it. You can feel it. I mean, she's the kindest, most generous human being I have ever met personally. So I just wanted her in my life, and it, you know, and that was a difficult thing to do because our lives did not connect. So we had to reinvent ourselves, and that's what, you know, that was the birth of One Great Year. She's beautiful, and it's fun to watch her because people, you know, just want to be around her. They just want to bask in her light. Mm-hmm. And you go to a party and everybody will be around town. And
it's, you know what? I have to thank you. You're both so lovely.
She's all like,
I'm very touched and I get emotional really quickly and I'm very touched. But, I have to say, you know, both of you are the same, in that. And, you know, Marie lit up the room when we went to see Constance Kellogg speak. And she stood and shared very briefly. And that what, you know, your sharing made an impact on me in that room of 100 people. And you were very approachable. And I thank you for that. And Rennie, the same thing. I think the awesome part about being a partnership is that because Rennie and I both bring, we're both bringing positivity. We're both bringing learning. We're both bringing a desire to do better, be better, be more enlightened, be lighter. But we're different people, and mm-hmm. different people gravitate toward us. You know, it's like moth to a flame. The same flame doesn't, you know, there's the sun, there's the moon, you know, everybody's called to a different place. And the people that you're reaching are the people that are going to reach out to you, and the people that I reach and the people that Rennie reach, you know, the more of us that are there doing the good work and trying to, you know, not evangelize, but just live the life. All we're doing is saying, hey, we think we kind of get how this might work. Our beliefs are evolving and changing all the time, but it's making us really happy. Mm-hmm. Our quality of life. I think Rennie and I both had beautiful lives when we met, but our quality of life, living the lessons that we've been given through this book has quadrupled.
So what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned and lived?
It's all a hologram.
It's all a hologram, exactly. I love again, the Asian philosophy. Once you understand the true essence of reality, it changes your perspective. So it really does lighten your stress and your anxiety and your fears. And once those are gone, then that opens up to joy and to really having a rich experience in life. Right. And I think that's kind of what it's all about. Right. And for us, you know, we're really living it, and we're seeing it manifest in our own lives.
So every day. You know, people exciting. Cannot draw you into their drama. People that have, you know, and they don't know they're doing it. I mean, no, it's not intentional. People are just dramatic, and they get really upset, and sometimes they want to go to battle with you, for you, about you. And when you kind of get to a place where you realize the battles are really artificial.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live your life in battle mode or anxiety mode or worry mode and fear mode, there's always a fear, a worry, an anxiety waiting in the wings mm-hmm. to replace the one you're trying to deal with. Okay? So you will never be done that until you reorder your thinking, you shift your perspective, even 1 degree, and you turn and look, and your fears are just fears. They're not reality. Stay in the moment. That, you know, it, to put it the most simply you possibly can is we are fortunate to live in Canada. We've said this before.
Oh, my God.
Okay? No. Most of our moments are not in dire need, dire strait, or under violence. Send all that positive energy and healing to the people that are living under that torment, violence, difficulty, because it does make a difference. And we can talk about sending energy and what energy means and, you know, that it's alive, that it's real. It's not, you know, it's been proven by science. We're very much into what is being shown by science that marries to our beliefs? Because some people really need that. And there's so much now that does. It's a pretty awesome time to be alive.
Do you have anything to add to that, Rennie?
I'm in absolute agreement. I think because for me, I had to have proof. Tam was more of a spiritual being than I was, and I needed to have some kind of scientific proof, and that's an impossible thing to even say, but it does lead you to open up. And I think traveling was a beautiful experience for me, because I've been fortunate enough to have traveled to 5 continents and 300 cities and towns around the world. And when you start to travel, you have all these preconceived ideas of what it's going to be like. And you get there and you realize it's completely different than how you think it's going to be. And that allows you to open up. To open up to new ideas and new concepts. And I think that training really helped me in trying to understand this grand scheme, this giant cosmic, you know, concept that's happening. And it is thoroughly all around us. And once you look for it, and once you're open to looking for it, you'll find it. And it really does change your life.
Right. And when you drop your preconceived notions everywhere, you know, everywhere you go, we have preconceived notions, unless you're conscious of your thoughts. Your thoughts carry energy. Your thoughts will make a self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay? If you expect no one to speak to you in a room of people, that you're going to go to this party at someone's house and you expect no one to speak to you, I guarantee you your body language is going to close you off. Mm-hmm. Your mindset, your energy is going to scare people away. Rather than having no preconceived notions about what's this going to be like, and then you get the reality of the moment, if that even exists, because everything is perspective as it comes in. But let's getting a little esoteric. So.
Well, and also I want to say, because it's some people will have like this epiphany and they'll be like, oh, I see it all now. And even for me, I've had moments like that. And then you sort of fall back into your patterns, just sort of like... It's almost like my own little cycle of gaining knowledge and then losing it, and sort of like each time you learn something and then you kind of really grasp hold of one piece of it, but the rest falls away. And then the next time you have to relearn that freaking lesson again, you've got it a little more solidified, right? And for some people, it's a process. And for me, like I'm looking back, I always bring it back to my dating, because that has been... such a huge place of learning for me, right? And so every time I look back and I see what I did well and what I could have improved on, and I look at the time where, okay, like where I was at, that was the right choice for me. If I had it to do over again, I'd probably make a different choice now. But where I was at with that knowledge, that was the best decision I could have made. So what advice do you have for people who like are frustrated, like myself, who I still get caught up in these patterns of worry and blame and not remembering why we're all here? So what do you say to those people who are still on that learning path?
Well, really great question. I think you're going to help a lot of people if my answer has any kind of coherence. I know what works for me. I can't speak for anybody else, but what works for me is allowing myself to know that as I learn lessons, they take time to filter in. Okay. So the idea that you learn it in that moment and then you lose some of the stuff, what you lose might be what's not useful, what's not really important about it, or what you're not ready to learn yet. Okay, so it's kind of like when you are a little kid and you have that sand screen down at the beach and you put the sand screen in and you shake it out and all the little pieces of sand fall through, but you got the big nuggets. Okay, the big nuggets stay and you learn those. And then your next lesson comes in and they dump another big bucket of stuff on you. And you have this big epiphany and then all the little pieces of sand filter through and you're left with those nuggets. Okay, and then eventually you've got your little pile of brilliance. You know, your little pile of lessons that you've learned that are part of you and they're part of what you're going to take forward. But be patient with yourself. And the biggest thing that I have absolutely learned in the last 4 years that I did not know, epiphanies are not random. Epiphanies are work. If you are doing the work, if you are reading and not just tuning out with television and tuning out your whole life, if you are reading, if you're meditating, cannot say enough about the importance of just being quiet with yourself. That's all it is. That's all meditation is. You don't have to go all guru. You don't have to go all crazy. You don't have to go any further practice than that. But if you be quiet with yourself, which is really hard for me at times, and do the work, read, seek the knowledge, listen to podcasts, it'll come. The epiphanies are can come rapid fire.
And do you find, Rennie, travel brings huge lessons, don't you think?
Absolutely. I did a travelogue show, and we shot a couple of episodes in Egypt, and we did one in Seychelles and one in Kenya. And our tagline was that, and this is something all travelers say, it's the best school in the world. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much on my trips. Information that they don't teach in school, that you have to go out to learn. It's the experience of it. And all of those culminated into our story. They all brought one great year alive. So I can't say enough about traveling. I think it's probably the single most important thing for people to do is get out there, break away from what you think you know, and be open to what's happening all around us.
Right. I have to say, Rennie was, when I met him, travel was it. That was number one in how he had grown as a person and what had built him. But even you now talk about that desire, that's not where all the, it changes. You know, it what works for you for a few years, where your lessons come from, it changes in your lifetime as you go through the different parts of your lifetime. I had huge growth and epiphanies through having children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a huge growth and epiphany through my divorce and Rennie through his breakup. So there's lots of times in your life, things that happen to you, choices that you make. They all matter. They all filter in. So look for learning in everything. You know, I've been accused of that. Mm. Not everything means something. And I totally disagree.
And I think that's a great point because, you know, to touch on what you talked about earlier, when you keep going through the same challenges in life and they keep reoccurring in your life, and people, a lot of people can go, oh, poor me, this is happening to me, and they'll kind of turn it into a bit of a pity party. But if you look at it in terms of, what am I supposed to be learning from this right now? Once you learn what you're supposed to be learning, when those hardships happen to you, they won't happen again. They usually fade away, and then life will give you something new to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't ever get super easy.
No, it's not supposed to be easy.
Well, I mean, I don't feel like I'm following the same exact patterns again and again. Like, I'm definitely learning, but there's a different, like you said, like, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Just I mean, every relationship I have until I find that last relationship
even
is going
you
to end.
Find
and even,
that last
and even that is going to end eventually, right? Mm. Everything ends.
The only relationship that does not end, Marie, is the relationship with yourself. And when we realize, what I realize, again, I only like to speak for myself. And what I realize for me is when I realized that I am connected to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That there is only one, there's one spirit that's all splintered off into all of these other bodies walking around our planet. And we're all trying to learn and evolve and have an experience, whether we are having a really dark experience or a light experience. And, you know, I send out all kinds of, you know, healing and gratitude to those other people because life is hard. My 10-year-old said to me this weekend, Mom, is life hard? And, you know, and he's walking around with me. I'm pretty cheerful. And I thought, okay, I have to honestly answer him. And I said, yes, it is. I said, but it's also beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's also full of love. It's also full of learning and joy. So it's what you seek and it's what you put your energy into. You know, there's a lot of people out there putting a lot of energy into their dramas and into their pain bodies, as Eckhart calls them. Your pain body, you can heal your pain body and move beyond it. But it's work, people. Nobody can do it for anybody else. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's take a bit of a break because it's time to give away a book. So I haven't checked my email yet, so I don't know if anyone's emailed me yet, but the first person who emails me at spiritualshow.com spiritualshow@gmail.com. Please put like something in the heading subject line so I know that it's you wanting to win the book, One Great Year. How about you put One Great Year in the subject line and then I'll know. And the first person who does that, spiritualshow@gmail.com, will receive a Kindle version. Wherever you are in the world, I will electronically send it to you like magic. And the first person now who gives us a call, now if you are calling to win a hard copy of the book, you need to come to Banyan Books on Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. for Tamara and Rennie's pod party. So if you're planning on coming to that and you would like a free copy of the book, give us a call right now during the break, 604-822-2487. The first person to call during the break, first person, 604-822-2487, and you've got to be able to come to Banyan Books on Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m., and you will get an autographed copy, I would imagine, of One Great Year. So give us a call right now. First person to do that will win that copy of the book. We will be back with more Synchronicity very soon.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
All right, welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find me online at spiritualshow.com or on Facebook or on Twitter. I am Marie Bernard. I'm all over the place. I even have a YouTube page. You can watch me looking, doing weird stuff, and it just depends on the mood I'm in. So definitely always interesting. I don't know if good or bad, but definitely always interesting to watch my videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So... spiritualshow.com is where you can find me. And right now we're speaking with Rennie DeFazio and Tamara Veach. They are the authors of One Great Year. You can find them at onegreatyear.com. And coming up this Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Banyan Books on West 4th Avenue in Vancouver, they are doing a pod party, which is a plain old discussion about monumental topics. And I imagine it'll start out with a discussion about the book and then sort of take off from there.
Yeah. That's really what happens. We talk about the ancient knowledge, the science, we have a whole bunch of visuals. So when you actually get in there and see it, it's quite different than just hearing us on the radio, because we have things that we're going to show people that might just, you know, blow their mind.
Yeah, cool. They don't work too well on radio, but they definitely work great in person.
Awesome. Well, coming up in just a few minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown. But before that, I want to talk with you about... Marcus and Theron and the lifetimes that they go through. Marcus and Theron are the main characters of the book.
Right.
And Helgel.
Right.
As well. He's the bad guy you love to hate.
Marie loves Helgel.
I do. He's bad.
Yeah, he is. He is bad. And the greatest part about Rennie has a great saying. What is it? Your good guys only.
Your good guys only as good as your bad guy is bad.
Yeah.
And Helgel is bad.
Right. We both actually have, because it's a reincarnation story and there's different lifetimes, and we did an absolute ton of research, 2.5 years of research, putting them in their places in history so that they would be believable and honest. But Rennie and I both each have our sort of favorites. It's really hard to choose. It's like choosing between your children out loud.
It's a much like that, actually. Yeah. We actually venture through 5 different lifetimes in our book, and our character actually reincarnates 5 separate times throughout history. So we both have our favorite kind of times. My favorite, we venture into the Mongol Empire and the life of Genghis Khan. Mm-hmm. So in researching that, we turn to the Book of Mongols, which is the only book that's ever been written about the Mongol Empire. And there was a couple of interesting things that book talks about. One of them is that Bort, which is Genghis Khan's wife, was kidnapped, and she gave birth shortly after that. And then so we tie that into our story, and then Genghis Khan disappeared for 10 years.
And if I recall correctly, there was like, who's the baby daddy? Exactly. Question there, yeah. Right?
And that's a real, that's really out of the Book of Mongols. There was paternity issues that followed that child, Georgie, for the rest of his life, because his life was short.
Yes.
Yeah, because, Genghis Khan took him as his own son, but it was always suspected that he was the son of the kidnapper.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was never given a lot of power, and his other siblings never treated him as if he was one of their own. So we touch on that. And one of the great things about that for me, that section of the book, is we venture into the mystical city of Shambhala.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot get enough of Shambhala. I think that is one of the most blessed and beautiful pieces in the book.
Right. Well, Shambhala is a Sanskrit word, and Sanskrit is the oldest and most perfect language in the world, and
Shambhala was going to use it for their space language.
Right.
It was
who?
It's right. NASA. They debated in using it for their space language. It's that precise of a language, and it's the oldest language on Earth, which kind of also ties into this cyclic existence. How could ancient people have a more perfect language than we now have today?
So, when you say perfect, what do you mean by that?
Well, for instance, the word love. They have 10 different ways of saying love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just more of an intricate language. It's really precise. We've dealt with one of our good friends. He wrote the dictionary from Sanskrit to English. And he tells a great story. He was in India when he was doing his research when he was a young man. And he was training with Osho. And he went to Osho and had a talk, and he was getting him to explain something to him and asked him a question. And Osho looked at him and he said, "Tell me in Sanskrit," or he wanted him to translate from Sanskrit to English a story. And he says, "If I tell you in English, it would be like talking baby talk and it would not get the full
understanding
of the story."
Yeah.
And I thought, that's how intricate
it's very precise is. And elaborate, and there's no misunderstanding meaning or duality of meaning. There is a word that means exactly what you want to say, and it's lyrical, so that it can be remembered, and so that it can be passed on through verse. Sanskrit is a stunningly beautiful language, and the fact that Shambhala, this awesome, perfect, spiritual place, is supposed to exist within probably other dimensionally, mm-hmm. Within our world, it is also called Aryavasha in the Indian Vedic texts, and it's which means the land from which the Vedas came. So the land that gave us all these secrets, that told us all this knowledge, that gave us, so that's exciting.
That's one of those.
So my favorite chapter, it always comes back to Stonet Center for me, which is the real home of Stonet Center is Tiwanaku, Bolivia, which we went to Tiwanaku for our documentary to show people why we chose that very sacred and awesome location. But in that chapter, Marcus is Sartanya. He is a woman, a priestess, and I really identified with him in that chapter because he is a mother. He's a mother that struggles with the birth, death of her husband, her children. She has all the love and angst that a mother would have in a situation where she's torn away from her child. And I loved the perspective shift that Marcus became a woman in the first incarnation that we talk about, and that it had to get us out of our preconceived notions about gender roles and mm-hmm. who can be what, and if we're reincarnated and our gender just changes, what does that tell us about, you know, the artificial, you know, spirit has no gender. Our bodies do because it's functional for procreation and all that, but our spirit is love on its own without any limitations of gender. So it was a cool perspective shift for me.
Cool. Rennie? You're just smiling away.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny. I can see these places because we tried to make the book a visual medium. So when you read One Great Year, you can, the visuals are so strong that it pulls you into this world. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so exciting about it. Everybody says, you know, we've had a lot of major actors read this book and a lot of big directors, and they all say you can see the movie when you read it, which is exactly what we intended on doing.
I could see it the first chapter, you can see it.
That's a great compliment. Yeah. And that's a compliment to Rennie. I mean, Rennie handed me a 15-page screenplay and said, "Will you, you know, this is what we should write. This is what we should work on together." And that, honestly, for that 15-pager to have so much in it, it had the bones of our story. It didn't have, you know, it didn't have the... what would turn into such a spiritual adventure and all the history and the research, but it had that movie, that mega movie quality right off the bat.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's very cool, and it's, you know, it's so exciting because we are working on the documentary, and, you know, our documentary, we're going around the world and we're showing some of these mysteries and theories that are around the world. We hope to reveal the meaning behind one of the ancient Peruvian mysteries in our documentary. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to basically show this direct correlation between modern science and ancient knowledge.
Well, and we need a better word. Documentary, we're going to have to come up with something. We're writers. We're going to do this. Yeah. Before we see you again, maybe on Thursday night before the pod party, I am going to come up with a better film word than documentary because it's so dry. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it doesn't get across the idea that we're talking about...
Docu-venture.
Yes.
Yes. That's good.
It's a docu-venture. I love it. It is, because it truly is. It's an adventure. It's like, honestly, we started writing this book. We thought we were going to write a fiction story. And as we did our research, everything started tying together. Everything's coming back to one thing. Everything, there was so much information that was just being woven together. It was, you know, it was unbelievable how many times things tied back to the history and the message of oneness. The message that we are all one. It is just a repeating pattern. It's only connecting the dots.
Well, I think that's about the best way we could possibly wrap this up. We are all one.
We are.
Because we have just less than 2 minutes before Chris Horrific is in here for Parts Unknown. So come and join us Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Banyan Books for a pod party for One Great Year. Tamara Veach and Rennie DeFazio, thank you so much for being on the show today. OneGreatYear.com is their website. And again, that is Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. You can meet them. You can get the book. And yeah. I guess that's about all there is to say. What do you,
thank you,
do you
Marie.
Want to say bye?
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Marie. It's always a pleasure.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And again, you can find me at spiritualshow.com. It has been such a pleasure serving you with this hour of Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back next week for more Synchronicity. So I want to send so much love to you. And oh, we should have talked about sending love and healing to the world. We'll talk about that maybe at the pod party.
We're doing it every day, baby.
Yeah. We're just always sending love and healing to the world. So take a moment to do that and soak up some of that sunshine energy and send it to someone who really needs it. So I want to send you so much love and gratitude and appreciation. I love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more.